Attention, everyone! Wayfair's Black Friday preview sale is here early! Right now, score up to 70% off everything home at Wayfair. Shipped in time for the holidays. Shop early Black Friday deals now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
You know who you are?
Steven is my name. Even Steven.
Will you say something, Steven?
Steven or else media.
You're listening to the Superman Super Show, episode 21, The Comeback of Larry Trent. Where's Larry been? We will tell you if you hold on.
Just hold your horses, people.
Howdy, folks. Welcome to an all-new episode of the Superman Super Show. I'm a host. My name is Ed, and 1,000 miles over my left shoulder is the other host, Mr. Stephen Orr.
Hello.
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 And we didn't even practice that.
That's right. That was off the cuff.
Yep. Which is the best kind of cuff.
That's right. There's no cuff like an off the cuff.
An off cuff. Yes, absolutely. All right, guys, today we're looking at The Comeback of Larry Trent, which appeared in Superman number 2, issue 2, volume 2. No, it's issue number 2. This was written for us by Jerry Siegel, penciled by Joe Shuster, and inked by Paul Cassidy. Superman issue number 2 was published by DC Comics, and it has a cover date of September 1939 with an approximate on-sale date of August 22nd, 1939. That's according to Mike's Amazing World of Comics. That is very close to very close to the put it out and whatever it actually meant back then. I don't think that the cover date was necessarily used the same way they are now. So
Doug chimed in on the live chat. Everyone has been waiting for the Larry Trent comeback. And I just have to say real quick, that title is probably one of my favorite things about this story. And I read all three stories out of this issue first, and then when I was putting the show notes together, I went back to the index, and I saw that title, and I just nodded my head. I was like, yep, that's a great freaking title.
Yep. Now, a little bit of research brought the fact to light that this story is a compilation, probably with some amount of editing, of newspaper strips that were published between and including February 20th, 1939 through March 18th, my birthday, 1939. Now, my birthday was not in 1939 for all of you people that thought that was funny, because it's not. I was born about 30 years later than that. Thank you. So, okay. Now that we got that out of the way, it's not funny.
I'm not laughing.
No. All righty. Superman stops a man from plummeting off a bridge only to discover that it's none other than former heavyweight boxing champ Larry Trent. Trent curses Superman for saving him, claiming he's lost all confidence in himself. Back when Larry Trent was the heavyweight champ, his manager made a deal with a crooked gambler and spiked his drink so that when he was out in the ring, he couldn't swing straight and lost the bout and his title. Since then, he hasn't been able to get his spirit back, failing at whatever job he took. Superman decides to help Larry get back to the top of his game, and thus, my friends, starts the comeback. First, he disguises himself, he, Superman, with makeup to look exactly like Trent. Then he wins a few bouts in the gym's ring until the owner refers him to a boxing manager, Jock Kane. Still in disguise, Superman meets with Kane and shows him what he can do by laying out current champ Slugger Barn. These names are killer. Right in his office. At first, Kane is furious at the display, but Slugger convinces him to give the guy a chance in the ring. He later whispers to Kane that he just wants a chance to get Trent back for that punch earlier. Superman enters the ring while the real Larry Trent watches from the audience. Slugger tries a few of his trademark punches, but they have no effect on the Man of Steel's solid form. Barnes eventually wears himself out and falls to the mat, granting Larry Trent, in quotes here, the victory. In the locker room, Tom Croy, Trent's sleazy old manager, approaches the still-disguised Superman and offers him a chance to be the champ again. After agreeing, Superman leaves the building but still listens in with his super hearing. Croy is planning the same old tricks he used last time, getting Trent to the final championship and then drugging him so he loses the title match. Not this time, Superman thinks. Now, at the Daily Star, Clark hands in an article to be printed after the big fight. His editor thinks he's gone mad as it states Larry Trent as the winner, but Clark's willing to stake his career on his predictions becoming fact. That night in a rented apartment, Superman tells Larry that he was no longer going to be his double. Larry was ready to get back in the ring and get his title back. That night at the bout, as the bell rings to start the first round, Trent fights with everything he's got. His manager, Croy, and the gambler both watch from the sidelines, holding a canteen full of drugs to slow Trent down. But Larry Trent's not fooled again. He refuses to drink every time it's offered in between rounds. But by round six, he's so tired that he can barely keep Croy from trying to force the drink down his throat. Lucky for him, Superman is there, grabbing Croy by the lapels and forcing him to drink his own concoction. The gambler pulls out a small handgun, which Superman blocks with his palm, causing the gun to explode out the back. Didn't injure the dude, though, interestingly enough. Trent goes on to win the heavyweight championship without further complications. His work done, Superman leaves him to his restored life. Back at the Star's office, the editor is impressed that Clark's article has depicted the events of last night with such accuracy. Clark's reply is that it was just good old reporter's foresight. I like the story.
Story was fun. Very reminiscent of the Action Comics tale in which Superman disguises himself as a football player.
Football player, yes.
The only difference is that Larry Trent knows that Superman is impersonating him and has given him permission to do so.
Yes.
Whereas in the Action Comics storyline, he kidnaps the football player and steals his identity. But we have learned just based on those two stories that if for some reason Superman's powers were to fail him, or if he could no longer find work as a news reporter, he's always got a job doing special effects makeup for the movies, because
he seems to be good at impersonating / impersonations. So
yeah, and it can just apply makeup in such a way that it physically alters his appearance.
Yep.
Though I will say this, there were a number of times throughout this story where I think Schuster actually on purpose did a really good job of showing him as Larry Trent, but still looking kind of like Clark Kent. I thought there was a bit of a difference there between the Superman Larry Trent and the actual Larry Trent. And
right.
I thought that was pretty cool.
Yep, close enough. But if you really got close enough and looked, then you could tell that they were different. But yeah, and I mean, come on, most of what is being seen of this person is from inside a ring.
Yeah.
By the people around the ring. Yeah. So it's, you know, yeah, he has some interactions with some managers and people like that who haven't seen the dude for how many years at this point?
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, you know, yeah.
But it was fun. And, you know, you brought up at the beginning that these are reprints of newspaper strips.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I picked up on that during this story or if it was the next story where
I think it was one of the later ones. Yeah.
But knowing now that's what's happening. I mean, first of all, just the look, there's like a speckled inking going on, shading going on a lot of these panels that, it just looks different than what was in the comics. And I don't know if that's a process that is there because it was going into a newspaper strip, but there, it's definitely got a different look and it does have a different feel. It feels like a different, almost a different type of story than what we've been reading in Action Comics. And frankly, as we get to the other two stories, when we move on to the next episodes, they are a bit darker than what we've been seeing in the comics, which I don't know, almost surprises me that for a nationally syndicated newspaper strip, that they would be darker and almost more violent than what they would put in a comic on the stand. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know if it was just assumed that kids weren't reading the newspaper and it was more adults, whereas kids would be picking, you know, would be pulling the comics from the newsstand. So, but yeah, I thought this was fun.
It definitely, like you said, had a different feel than those strips that we've been reading in Action Comics. I'd really have to sit down and try to figure out the correct words to really describe them against each other. But if you have been reading them and then you read this, it just feels different. I mean, there are some aspects, like you said, the artwork is a little different. The rendering of the colors is a little different, even though, you know, the colors from the material that we're looking at are reproduced and probably touched up, which is kind of unfortunate, I think. But the colors in the version we're reading are more heavily saturated.
Yeah.
And I think that they are brighter primary colors than the primary colors would have looked in a newsprint printing.
Yep.
Either the paper or comic books back then. So, you know, we're looking at something that was printed on shiny, heavier bond paper in higher saturation. And a lot of the modern reprintings of these very, very old comics, the publishers feel that it's necessary to do that. And I think it takes away from the product because it's not what it was. You're not reprinting something. If you were dealing in antiques, that would be called a repop, right? You're reproducing it. It's not a reprint.
Yeah.
So I would like to get a hold of a lot of these things, particularly these newspaper prints, as a true reprint so that I can see. That's what I want. I want to be then. And so I need to see it as close to what I would have seen it in February of 1939. You know, that's what I would like to see.
It's almost like discovering, you know, ancient hieroglyphics in an Egyptian tomb, and then somebody takes them and sticks them on a computer and changes them up to make them look better.
They sharpen it and they straighten it, and it's like, that's not what you saw out there. That's not So and I mean I can understand there. I have listened to people talk about these reprintings and extol the wonders of modern. I'm like, well, okay. Now, I don't agree, but okay.
I understand it. I get it. I understand the reasoning behind it. But
I get your words.
If it's a situation where, because, you know, some of these maybe they don't have good copies of the originals. And so they don't have any choice. They don't have any choice but to update it.
Update it. And maybe at times even remake it, you know, just look and see what it is and do the best they can to re-image whatever. I can understand that, you know.
One thing I found is that the art is almost better on these in these stories than they have been. And in fact, as I was reading these stories, because what I found is as we've been reading Action Comics, I don't really pay attention to who is doing the art in the story until I start putting the show notes together for the show. And so if I get to a story that the art seems to be a bit improved, typically it's because they have somebody else doing the art. It just tends to look, it's the same style as Joe Shuster. So that's what I assumed was going on with these, that they had, you know, like, I can't remember any of the Wayne Boring and folks mm-hmm. like that who've come in to do some of the art. And then when I was putting the show notes together, it's like, no, Joe, you know, Schuster did the art on all three of the stories that we're going to be talking about over the next 3 weeks. And so there's a number of questions that raise into my head knowing that these are newspaper strips. One of them is, did Schuster spend more time and care on these over what was in Action Comics? Then, of course, that leads to the question, if so, why? What is it about the strips? You know, are they being paid more? Is it bigger circulation? So they feel they have to do a better job art wise on it. Or do the newspapers have a higher standard for quality than maybe what was going in the comic books? And then I think the second big question I'd like to know the answer to is I would really love to see these strips, and I would love to know which, you know, where does the one strip end and, you know, begin and end? Cause as I'm reading these, there are certain moments like, okay, well, this obviously is the end of a strip. And then this is the beginning of the next strip as printed in the newspapers. Because, I think we were talking before we started recording, there are moments in the next story where somebody's saying something in one panel, then the very next panel, they're saying almost the exact same thing. So it's very obvious that the previous panel was the end of one strip in a newspaper. And then the next panel was the beginning of the next strip in a newspaper.
Right.
Almost like catching you up.
On exactly. If you didn't read last week's or however they're divided, you know, this is right where we left off.
And where the, you know, nowadays in your typical daily newspaper comic strip, unless it's like a comic that's like a Far Side that is just one panel, they're typically about 3 to 4 panel strips. And I just, I'm curious if that was, I think it's pretty much the same. I think it's John that's been reading through some of the collections that have the strips and have been posting, you know, the strips on Twitter. And I believe they're about 3 to 4 panels each strip, but I don't know. Once I realized, and it wasn't until we got to, until we get to the next story that it kind of dawned on me, that's what was going on. Then I almost took myself out of enjoying the stories because I was trying to figure out, okay, so if a typical strip is about 4 panels, 1, 2, 3, 4, that's kind of a weird way to end that strip. And that's kind of a weird way to start that strip. But
yeah, you're trying too hard, man.
I know exactly. I was thinking too much and it took me out of enjoying the stories.
Yep.
But those are questions that maybe John can answer. And it also makes me wonder, because I know they've put collections together of those newspaper strips, but I don't know that they're exhaustive. I don't know that they're all the newspaper strips. And I wonder if these are in some of those collections or if they haven't bothered to put these in any collections since they're already in, you know, Superman issue number 2. I just, stupid things I get curious
about. Yeah, I'm not sure. I know I've seen, you know, hardcover.
Yeah.
Compilations of the newspaper strip, but I've not paid attention to know exactly where they started or what is included. Or
a lot of the ones that I've seen, like through Amazon, they're always like 1943 to they seem to be later than what we're reading right now.
Yeah,
which then naturally brings me to another question: when in relation to when this issue came out and when Action Comics was coming out around the same time, when were these strips originally printed? Were they, you know, are they over a year old at this point? Are they, you know, I don't know.
Well, these were February and March of 39.
Okay.
This book came out in August of 39.
So 6 to 7 months old.
Right. Yeah. And May and June for one story and April for another. So June 39 is the oldest, or I mean, is the closest to the publication. Yeah. And it's roughly 2 months and a couple weeks. What is that? 10 weeks. 10 weeks from when this came out. Now, of course, it was printed before that to some amount. I don't know how long before it would be. So this is the actual appearance date of one of the stories is June. We know that's when it came out. I'm not sure. I don't know if anybody can be sure when these books were printed. I don't know if they printed them a month before they sent them out. Is it the next week after they managed to get them out? I don't know what that time shipping, whatever, would have been for comics, but pretty close. You know, these are pretty recently seen in the newspapers compared to when they put them together for the comic book. I'm kind of surprised they got the rights to do that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it makes sense. However, since we know that the first issue of Superman was reprints and, you know, Siegel and Schuster, we know at this time are not, they're not just doing Action Comics. They're doing Action Comics. They're doing these strips for the newspaper. They're doing what, Slam Bradley. They're doing, yeah, you know, there's a number of other comics that they're doing. So instead of adding to their workload, they're doing reprints, which it's almost like this is that generation's version of trade paperbacks.
Right. Yeah. Almost.
Yeah. But they would have had to colorize these for this issue, right? Because they would have been in the newspaper as black and white.
Right. I'm assuming. Yeah, they would have been black and white. Now, I know there were color elements in the papers because the Spirit strip was in color.
Okay.
And it's coming out roughly the same time, 39-40. So it was 7 or 8 pages of color, and it was one of 3 strips in that little section, a special section that came out every Sunday. So,
yeah, I mean, nowadays
sure it's, strips were.
You know, nowadays, and of course, when we grew up, it's the comics that were in newspapers Monday through Saturday were 3 or 4 panel black and white strips.
Right.
And then in the big Sunday insert, they might be a bit longer. And they were all color.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
All right. I don't know if I have anything else to say about this one. I didn't make any notes. The moments where Superman comes in at the end and like grabs Croy when he's trying to force Trent to drink the poison, and Trent's hair color changes.
And then
Superman puts his hand in front of the gun, I found both of those scenes really interesting and yet odd at the same time, because with the exception of the one panel where you see Superman forcing the guy to drink the poison, it's just a hand that comes out of the shadows, you know, you don't see. And I don't know. I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah. And the gambling thug, they're not getting injured when that weapon, rather explosively, backfires on him.
Well, I mean, we're seeing, I'm going to assume that panel is just at the beginning of the explosion and we're just not seeing the aftermath, because based on the next two stories, they're not afraid to show and tell you when somebody dies.
It wasn't a problem for those. So it probably wasn't a problem for this one either.
Yeah. But, and it, you know, it was kind of a fun, I like that Superman, helps the guy out to get him, you know, to get his name, back up there to fix his reputation. But then the whole time he's sparring with the guy and, you know, building him back up. So during that final bout, the guy can do it himself. I like that. I really like that.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, I wondered how exactly about halfway through, I wondered exactly how Superman would set him up to get his belt back.
Yeah.
Alrighty, guys. We want to thank everybody for listening into this episode of the Superman Super Show. If you want to drop us a line or ask us a question, just provide feedback in general. You can do it a variety of ways. You can email us at thesupermansupershow@gmail.com. You can tweet us at Supes Super Show. That's SUPS, one word, Super Show. You can join us over at the forum at forum.justanotherfanboy.com. Leave comments there. Every episode has its own posting, so you can leave all the comments that you want for all of the episodes that you want to comment on. All the links for this stuff will be in the show notes, so don't worry about trying to jot those down real quick, because I'm not going to repeat them. So, you know, if you missed it, you'll just get them from the show notes. They're right there. We try to make it as easy for everybody as we can. But until next week, I'm Ed, that's Steven, and this was the Superman Super Show. Ciao. Bye.
We want to thank you for listening to this episode of the Superman Super Show. Questions and comments can be directed to the Superman Super Show at gmail.com. If you enjoyed the show, you can help to boost our presence online by leaving a rating or review on your favorite podcast app. The Superman Super Show is a presentation of Stephen or Else Media. For more nerdy content just like this, check out StephenOrElse.com or just use the link in your show notes. Superman is a registered trademark of DC Comics and was created by Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster.
Superman is a copyrighted feature appearing in Action Comics magazine.
Superman's bad. I mean, he was bad.
You're just feeling very Italian tonight.
Ciao, bella.
Ciao, bella.
Need parts now? O'ReillyAuto.com offers in-store pickup, same-day home delivery, or next-day home shipping. Get more parts your way at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.